This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. You're never too old to learn something new. In fact, keeping our minds active and engaged throughout our lives has a lot of benefits. So what are the local opportunities and resources for doing this? Joining me to talk about lifelong learning this afternoon are Sally Peterson with the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of Cincinnati, Pat Bauer with the Institute for Learning and Retirement at Miami University, and Phyllis Cummins with the Scripps Gerontology Center at Miami University. And you can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, everybody. Glad to have you here. Let's start with Sally and Patricia. Let's start by having you tell us about your institutes. And Sally, you start off. Osher Lifelong Learning Institute.
Right, otherwise known as OLLI, O-L-L-I. And we're a volunteer organization. Both of our organizations are volunteer. We have over 1,500 members. In the fall quarter, we we had 140 classes, and all served, again, by volunteer moderators. So that means we had that many individuals who were willing to give of their time. If you're 50 and older and wish to sign up for the classes, we have a multiple number of classes that and of interest that individuals can sign up for. Pat?
Now, we have a much smaller membership, given that we are primarily in Butler County, although we do welcome people from Indiana and also from Preble County and Hamilton County. We offer classes in Oxford, Hamilton, Fairfield, Monroe, and Westchester. We only have about 250 members and offer in the neighborhood of 50 to 55 classes per semester. We have two semesters a year.
We have three quarters.
Right.
Yes.
As Sally said, it's all member-driven. We have one staff person who is remarkable. We couldn't do it without her. But everything else is member-driven. We started in 97 very much with the help of the folks at UC who already had their operation going.
Yes, we've been in membership. It used to be called ILR also, mm-hmm. Over 20 years.
And have you seen the demand for the classes growing over the years?
Oh, yes.
Well, our membership has, in the last, I'd say, 5 years, has grown.
Now, Sally, what types of things can I learn? What are some of the classes?
Well, it depends on what your interest is. If you're interested in politics, there are classes, many different types of classes on politics. If you're interested in hobbies like photography, and we have a huge demand for that, there are several classes for that. If you're interested in literature, we have that. And there's always a class on computers and use of computers. And Dr. Diker does a wonderful job. He's
very
patient.
Boy, couldn't I use that. Brush up on my computer skills.
I sign up for his classes all the time. It's wonderful. Pat, what about you?
We have primarily classes that have an academic orientation, such
right.
as history or literature, poetry, religion, music, art. Pretty much runs the gamut of what you would find at a university. And then we also have a few courses that are, occasionally we'll have a cooking class. We have a professor of ornithology who has run a phenomenal bird banding class out at Houston Woods that people go out to at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, I think that would be wonderful.
And he does it every single semester.
I bet that's a popular
it
class.
It is. It's very popular. I've not done it, but people I know who've done it continue to sign up every semester. So, but it's a real cross-section. We also offer a special events program where we do two or three day trips, not during the semester, but between semesters.
We had a class on Rhodes Scholars last year, and we're going to have a new one in the spring, I believe.
Neat.
So in lifelong learning, I take it that I can take classes that will keep not just my mind but my body engaged as well. Mm-hmm. I think I saw a course on Tai Chi,
that's lovely.
Your catalog.
Yes,
right.
It's very good.
We have that too.
So lots of things you can do to keep your mind and your body engaged. And
to engage with other people who also like to learn. And that's a real benefit.
A big social aspect to it then.
It's more than just socializing. It's substantive
socializing. Yeah, it's intellectual social. It really is. We have different courses, too, different types of courses, because we have the 8-week courses, and then we have what we call, because we had a lull of period of time between the morning and afternoon classes, we have what we call brown bag lunches that'll last an hour and a half, and so they're just one topic, one time, and a lot of people go to that. And then we have Wednesday Wows, which are 3-hour classes that are held at the Sycamore Senior Center, and we have, that's a fun thing, too. And we have some special events, too, but there's a jazz session out at UC Blue Ash. We meet at UC Blue Ash out at Israel, Spring Grove. I'm trying to think. Sycamore Senior Center. We even have an art class out at Maple Knoll. So we're spread around.
There's all, it sounds like all kinds of things you can be involved in as well.
It's amazing. It really, truly is. I didn't know what I was going to do before I retired. And since I retired, I've been so busy with this. It's unbelievable.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Phyllis, it sounds like there have to be just a lot of benefits to lifelong learning for you, mentally, physically, socially, spiritually.
Yes. Pat and I were talking yesterday about the use it or lose it concept, that just maintaining cognitive function is enhanced by continuing to learn. And the social aspects are also important, too, in maintaining cognitive function.
And what are some of the more popular classes that you offer? The bird class was one, and
Literature, music, art. We have we do a brown bag lunch type of class that's always very popular. Whenever we offer a cooking class, it sells out within just an hour or so usually. so it all depends. Some classes by their very nature have to be small. So
to make them more hands-on and easier to access.
When Phyllis and I were talking yesterday, we were talking about the different perspective that she and I have, because I'm coming from lifelong learning as personal enrichment and development, whereas her interest is much, much more pragmatic.
It's more for workforce. A lot of older workers have lost their jobs, and in order to become reemployed, they need to re-career and be educated at older ages. So those are my interests.
I would also imagine that as older adults are being encouraged to stay in the workforce longer, that lifelong learning plays an important role in that.
Absolutely. As we are a more knowledge-based and global economy, it's really important for adults to maintain their technical skills and other skills so they are continue to be employable.
We have several classes and music, too. There's a wonderful class of, it covers music down at TUC. That's another place where we have classes, at the Tangerman Center on the UC campus. But one of the most popular classes we have are the opera classes, because we have a huge base of opera fans. So we have maybe 3 or 4 classes on opera a quarter, because people want to go and they want to learn more about it. Some of the individuals who come and teach those are just fabulous.
Are you learning how to perform an opera,
no,
or just how to appreciate
all.
It?
No, not at all. They're discussing the background, the history, some of the music, some of the aspects of the musicality of opera. No, it's more of a learning exercise. It's not trying. However, we do have a lady who does teach singing, and so that's another popular class. Another popular class that we have is a gentleman who's from England, and he has taught the different periods of history. He's gone, this time he's going to be doing Stuart. He did Georgian last time, and then the different periods, and that's also a lot of fun.
Pat, art classes, music classes offered at Miami as well?
Yes. We music classes especially are very popular. We've had some where it was either musicology or it might have been looking. This semester, for example, we had a history professor who talked about the impact of musicals on the boomer generation.
That's an interesting topic.
It's a very interesting question.
And we have a gentleman who was a financial advisor as a profession, and he teaches. He loves musicals. And so he has taught classes, and he has two running now, the Hollywood film musicals and Broadway musicals, and those are extremely popular.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk at WVXU or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk to Michael from Walnut Hills. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm curious. I live in Walnut Hills. So I live in the city. I know the city would like to grow by 100,000 people over the next 10 to 20 years to be sustainable. And what these ladies are talking about is so exciting for the boomer generation to have access to. I wonder, you know, for the same reason that young people move close to or live on campus to be part of the energy and excitement of coursework, has UC or Miami or Xavier thought about having a senior village as part of their campus, since I think there's 10,000 people over 65 every day adding to that boomer generation? And I think retirement in the city with opportunities like these ladies are talking about would be a very exciting way to retire.
The ILR at Miami is very, very closely attached to the Knolls of Oxford, and we're also now offering classes at Mount Pleasant Retirement Village. So we've really kind of spread out to them as opposed to having them come to us.
I think what your question is hoping to build, having something in the city. And right now that would be probably a part of the UC major administration would be looking at that. I don't know that they have actually done that. We're just providing the classes through Ollie in as many areas as possible. So and we do it some at Maple Knoll as well as the Sycamore Senior Center. So we are reaching out to retired people, but I understand what you're asking, and I can't really say that there is any movement that way, but it's a good idea.
Michael, thanks very much for the comment. We appreciate it. And Phyllis, you know, one of the benefits of lifelong learning that at least it seems like it would be a benefit to me is that you don't necessarily have to pick something that's practical. You can pick something that you would enjoy learning.
Yes, but for re-careering, it needs to be practical from the standpoint that you can get a job after you finish a program.
That's true.
But it's important for older adults, if they are going to re-career, to find something they really enjoy. And that's often in something totally different than where they spent their career job. But it is important to find a career that you really want to enjoy for the rest of your life.
You think this is a good avenue for doing that? I guess there'd be less pressure in taking this kind of a class, especially if you've been out of the classroom for, say, 30 or 40 years.
Yes, but most of the re-careering classes are 4-credit classes, say, at community colleges, versus the lifelong learning classes. Ohio, most of the state universities in Ohio have a what is called Program 60, where adults 60 and older can take classes on a non-credit basis in space available with the permission of the instructor. So that's a way to take classes that are a little more academically intensive.
As part of your studies, do you see more seniors going back to school to learn new job skills? Is this a trend?
Yes, it is, particularly since the recession.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And Pat, how many people are usually involved in a class? You say some of them are smaller because they're more hands-on.
They could be as small as 6 or 7 people. It depends on the nature of the class, and some of them will have 100, 125 people in them.
That's true.
Same with Ollie?
Yes, exactly. I think many of our classes run around 25, and then we have the large classes for the more popular subjects, like the music program would be much larger, and we use an auditorium when we do that.
Now, Sally, you were saying your instructors are volunteers. Is that
both
the case? Both cases?
Exactly.
Yes. That's a fundamental philosophy of these institutes. is that they are member-driven and volunteer.
Now, do you have to go out looking for instructors, or is it a case where they come to you and say, I have a great course idea that I can teach? And
Yes.
We do both.
We do both.
You do both. You do both. We recruit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how would somebody apply for classes?
You mean apply to teach or apply,
take a class? Is there an age limit or range?
We say 50
right
as the cutoff, but we don't check anybody's birth certificate. So
if you're interested,
we welcome you. We have printed information that's spread around to libraries. I'm sure
the catalogs we distribute.
We have a database. We have an online. We have a website.
We do.
Think you have posted on your website.
Mm-hmm, that's
so
correct.
So you could link to it from there and find out what the classes and the events and things are.
Right. We actually post the catalog. We mail the catalogs to our members that are already members. Then we distribute the catalogs to the libraries in Hamilton County, and then some people are taking them out. If they live in Butler County, they're mm-hmm. taking them out there also. But it's also online.
Now, what are the costs involved?
We charge $95 a semester. We have a price break for a first-time enrollment of $75, but basically it's $95 a semester.
And ours is $85. Ours is $85. And by the way, for that $85, you can sign up for as many classes mm-hmm. as you would like.
Some
of us are so busy, we don't have time to breathe. We have to wait for the vacation to do our housework. You know,
ours is the same way, where you can take as many classes as you can get into and have time for.
Right.
We had a call from Tom, and he wanted to know, do either of the programs offer Spanish or other language classes? I think we mentioned earlier there were some, didn't we?
Yes, we have Spanish and French.
We don't offer them every semester, but we do have for them on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd hope they have French, since at one point you taught French.
Well, right, but I'm not teaching French now. I'd probably be teaching the literature, which I did last quarter.
Phyllis, are there other studies on the difficulty of learning as one gets older? Is this something that's harder for somebody who's, say, 70 than someone who's 17?
Well, it's harder from the standpoint that many older adults, and if we say 50 and above, haven't been in a classroom for a very long time. So, and many of them never anticipated going back to school. So they face challenges in negotiating the system, how to enroll in a class, study skills, and all of those things, how to be a good student.
It was interesting. Last spring, one of the psychologists at UC Blue Ash talked to us and talked about the learning curve, you know, because we've always been told when you get older, you lose it if you don't use it. However, when she has tested both her 18-year-olds and then given a test to the older, she finds that the older people do better on it in certain ways. And then it depends on what you're doing, you know. So really, as long as we're using it, we're not going to lose it. For the most part.
Yeah, another challenge a lot of older students face is just the technical skills that are required, because a lot of classes are blended. They have an online component, and that is often challenging for older students.
And sometimes hearing is an issue for some of the older students.
Right, that might be.
Hearing and perhaps even some vision-related problems mm-hmm. as well as you go along.
Another interesting, depending upon this technology business, we have a class at UC Blue Ash where it's called the iGen class, where some of our members are going into the class with the younger students, and they're teaching them how to use the technology. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of very, very interesting. And then others of us have worked with the LiveWell community on the UC campus to be subjects for information for the students in not archaeology, but architecture and some of their programs there.
Are there classes that can teach people how to get back into the learning mode for those who've been out for a long time? Or?
Well, there's student orientation classes, but there's also many community colleges have what they call student success courses that are required, and that help students, young and old, understand what it means to be a college student. And those have benefited older students, just understanding what's involved in being a student and studying and all of that.
And that would be more for your students who are going into learning a new job. But for the lifelong learning classes, they're there and they're just soaping it up, you know, just they're ready.
I think you're dealing with a population that's intellectually curious and always has been. They just maybe haven't had time to do that very actively when they were working. But as they're retired, they have more discretionary time. And I think if you talk to anybody who's ever taught in an ILR, they'll tell you it's the best teaching experience they've ever had because the people are eager learners. They want to be there.
Exactly.
You're not having to give tests or
take
papers or take attendance or anything like that. Everybody is there because they want to be.
Do you find that some of the older students are intimidated about going on campus and back into a classroom again? You're shaking your head no.
No, I don't think so. However, I think some of our individuals find it difficult to go to the UC campus. We're trying to encourage them. In fact, we even give them parking passes, the organization Ollie does, so that encourages them to go to the main campus for their classes. They're kind of intimidated about parking down there. But as far as going into them, no.
You're trying to make access as easy as possible.
Right. We're working at that.
I think where we've seen some intimidation has been with people who have felt marginalized because they are not as well educated, perhaps, as some of the people who are involved. And we don't have an educational requirement, but people self-impose that sort of thing sometimes. And it's self-defeating.
It's not a function of the class itself, then. It's just something that they bring in with them.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
There really isn't any reason for people to be nervous about it.
No. Not at all. No. Not at all. I think everyone is very accepting. And, you know, you have your few individuals who are, they are what they are, you mm-hmm. know. But for the most part, individuals are very welcoming and mm-hmm. encouraging people to come. And that's what I have found with the population I've worked with.
Do either of your programs offer an informal get-together information session for people who are interested?
We used to. We don't anymore.
Okay.
No, we haven't really had a need. However, we encourage our members sometimes to bring them people on the outside to maybe the brown bag lunch or maybe to one of the classes so that they can see what it's like so they're not intimidated by it. So that's one of the things we've tried to do.
We have had people go out and speak to groups. For example, go to Rotary or Kiwanis or to the Senior Center or even a church. If a church wanted us to come in, we would do that.
Yes, and Ollie, I'm in charge of the Speakers Bureau, and that's what I do. I go out and I speak to different individuals in different places trying to encourage them to come.
And Phyllis, have there been any studies that show that if you keep an active, engaged, curious mind, that it prevents the onset of dementia?
Well, there have been many studies that have looked at maintaining cognitive function by continuing to learn, by social activities, and it's generally a positive relationship, but it's their causality is sometimes questionable because is it those that have higher cognitive function that are taking the classes in the first place? Mm-hmm. So that's a question. But I, you know, from a personal standpoint, I think it's important to continue to learn throughout your life course in order to remain employable and to maintain mental acuity.
So if I want to learn more about lifelong learning, what's the first step I should take?
Visit our website.
Our website.
Okay.
Go through. You can do it through the University of Cincinnati or just put in Ollie University of Cincinnati, OLLI, and you'll get to our website.
And those links are on our site, wvxu.org. And thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Enjoy talking to all of you. Sally Peterson with the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of Cincinnati. Pat Bauer with the Institute for Learning in Retirement at Miami University. And Phyllis Cummins with the Scripps Gerontology Center at Miami University. Again, you can find links to more information at wvxu.org. And after the break, the sport and skill of orienteering. And in about 19 minutes, Focus on Technology does some online shopping for cool tech gifts. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.